Welcome to Comics,
episode
278.
This week, we talk about
Archie, Volume 1.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
Maybe that's enough to make a difference.
Hey, but should we talk about this week's comic? I like just looked at the clock and I was like, oh god.
Yeah.
Hard right.
I have one question/complaint. So I bought this on Amazon.com, but I know that it tracks my region. Did this comic cost $20 for you guys?
No.
I used Comixology Unlimited.
Hmm.
I used...
Even though I actually have the individual issues, I just didn't bother to dig them out.
Okay. Yeah, this, at least for me, buying on Amazon.com from Germany, and I don't know if that changes it, maybe it doesn't, maybe it does, this comic cost $20, and they had the trade on sale for like $12.
Yeah,
I found that really off-putting.
That is terrible.
I don't know what happened there, but something went wrong.
Yeah, that ain't right. Anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. That sucks.
No, I wanted to know if it was like a regional thing or not.
No.
Okay.
This week's comic.
Yeah, so this week we read Archie Volume 1 by Mark Waid. The first three are done by Fiona Staples. The second three are done by... Fuck. I forgot.
Veronica
Fish?
No. I think so.
Oh my god, if I remember that out of my ass, that'd be fantastic.
Veronica Lodge.
Oh! No. yeah. Archie Volume 1. It's the first six issues of the new run. This is like a reimagining of Archie?
It feels to me like it's a... modern update or retelling.
Yeah, because it's not significantly different. Like, all these characters feel like how they felt before, but they feel like this feels like more textured characters, whereas before they were more stock. These feel like more fleshed out real people.
I feel like they were able to introduce conflict well without it having be like Scooby-Doo level conflict. And also avoiding the thing where they go, like, grimdark with it. Because I think it's totally appropriate for a teenager to have the kind of conflict where they break up with someone and then their ex starts seeing someone else and they feel weird about that. That's, like, it's really normal, but also a little more, I almost want to say grown up.
And also feel weird about it from the other perspective, too, that, like, they've been friends forever. So, like, of course she wants to do the right thing by him, but not be in a relationship with him anymore, necessarily. Like, it's a really weird, awkward position for her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like that these characters have that extra layer and that extra texture with real conflict, but they don't feel necessarily different than the classic perception of the character. Like, this Archie still feels like Archie. This Betty still's like, these all still feel like the characters that they always have been. It was a really good pull-off, I think.
I feel like they're the characters they always were, but amplified.
Yeah.
Like, Archie feels more Archie. Veronica is, like, 1,000 times more Veronica in this.
I love her in this.
I was amazed that I didn't hate her. I think that means it's really well done. Because she is really awful and yet still enjoyable.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, for the vast majority of our interactions with Veronica, she's not a pleasant person, but then you get to see her vulnerability where when she, you know, throws up on herself And then, you know, she's helped by Betty. And so you can kind of see the shades of their friendship starting to, well, you can see maybe like the spark of a potential friendship, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciate that, like, it's played off less that she's, I mean, there is the assholishness of it, but I think what Mark Waid does a really good job is portraying how Veronica is also strong as a person. Mm-hmm. And that's really an awesome thing to do, because she has that pretentious snootiness, and she, I go back, like, you, the barf that you bring up is a great moment, because it is immediately preceded by her showing that she is not afraid. Like, she's like, fuck it, I'm gonna eat this fucking sloppy Joe. I don't give a shit. I am stronger than this. And then she does, and she barfs because it's so disgusting to her. Like, it kind of backfires on her, but she's willing to do this. And even after all of this, she comes back to school the next fucking day, you know, and she goes back in there with a change of clothes. Like, she's strong in her own way. And I like that so much about her character. And then the way that she also doesn't take shit from people. Like, yeah. Like Ronnie. No, or not Ronnie. Reggie, yeah. Oh, right, body spray. And the art there is great. The look on her face is utter disdain. It's fantastic.
I was surprised because Reggie is such a fucking tool in this one. And when we saw him in Archie versus Predator, he's... I mean, obviously, that's not, like, canonical, but he's gross, but he's not the most awful person that ever was.
No, he's still pretty gross. I mean, Archie does a good job of describing him, too, in this. I like the Saved by the Bell thing that Archie does here, breaking that fourth wall, and he describes that Reggie's the closest thing they had to a villain. Doesn't describe him as a villain, because he's not a villain, but probably the closest thing they have. But if you remember in Archie versus Predator, it's so weird to like refer to that as our baseline. And Reggie's the one who, when they're at the resort, says, you know, best dressed means least dressed. Like, yeah. he's the one who's, he's a pervy, skeevy, like, the asshole part, it maybe wasn't there, but that slimy body spray vibe, I think that's definitely Reggie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. I feel like there's skeeziness, and then there's skeeziness plus jerkiness. And the combination is just way worse.
Yeah. But and Mark Waid gives him an out a little bit, too. Like, we see two pages when Reggie's at home, and it's like you're ever... And his father's gone, and he's like you're ever here, Dad.
Yeah.
And he makes some comment about how he's always in his car alone. Or no, it's his phone. Somebody calls his phone. He says, nobody ever calls me on this number. Or something like that. Like, not that he's hiding his phone number. It's just nobody ever calls him. Because nobody likes him. So, I mean, there's a couple outs for him here about why he's a bit of an asshole. And maybe he just needs a little bit of attention and love and he'd be a better person. But he's not going to get it the way that he is.
Yeah. I want to go back to Veronica.
Yeah.
A little bit with the vomit scene. She is strong, but what's interesting, too, is you actually get to see that she has layers. Because it's not just, like, her being strong by making herself do the thing she doesn't want to do and then, like, recover from it. But also, you can tell that her assholishness is armor for her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she walks to that bathroom, like, all prissy, and the thing she says, I think, is really telling. She's like, people really love me or hate me for no reason. And then you realize it's got to be really scarring to be a child on a reality TV show and then have to go to a random public high school. And like, she's actually like kind of humble around Betty. Like, you don't hear it, but you see it in the facial expressions. She looks really embarrassed and ashamed. And then, you know, she kind of picks herself up again and is a complete and utter asshole. But it seems more like she uses it to hide vulnerability rather than, like, that's who she is. Or, I mean, it is who she is, but there's more to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and she lets it down too with God, what is her name? The Asian girl who's a fashion designer.
Sheila?
Sheila Wu.
Yeah, she lets it down with Sheila because she's an unabashed fan of Sheila's work. And so she lets her guard down there constantly, and she geeks out over Sheila, which I love. Because Sheila is like nobody to Veronica at first, and then Veronica's like, actually, this is great. I like this. I'm gonna get you good. Like, it's nice that like she holds up that appearance, but then when she finds something she likes, she does geek out. And I feel like she geeks, and maybe that's the connection between her and Betty, is she does with fashion what Betty does with cars or with fixing things, like the unabashed joy of what they love because they actually enjoy it. Veronica actually enjoys being who she is. She really does embrace it and love it. And Betty, when she's in her element, when she's doing the things she does, she unabashedly loves it. Like, she has no regrets about being the tomboy at all. And I think that's the great connection between them two. And that's why I hate the whole hashtag thing, but the lipstick incident, like, that's why that's a thing with Betty and Archie, because it's not who Betty is.
Yeah, and I think seeing Veronica be excited is really humanizing on her, because everything else she's like, oh, haven't you heard of blah, blah, blah. And it's very, like, prim and proper. And then, you know, the couple things, like Sheila's fashion, and then Archie later, she has a genuine reaction instead of a front. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for
the hospital. Also, it helps the times when we see her have genuine reactions reminds us that she is still a teenager, you know? Because I think it's because these are the only people we really see. I mean, we get to see adults a little bit, but they're very minor characters in this story. And so I think, at least for me, you sometimes just make these characters adults because they're the only people, you know? Mm-hmm. And things like Veronica's reaction to Sheila and, you know, like you said, her reaction to Archie reminds us that she is a teenager and a regular person at the same time.
Yeah.
And speaking of adults, it's really easy to see why she acts the way she does when you meet her dad. He is not a nice dude.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What does he say? Like, I could buy everything you have with the spare change.
Yeah, with the change under my couch cushions.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, though, because it seems like, aside from Pop, all the adults, well, I guess Archie's parents are nice people, but, like, Veronica's dad is a jerk. I guess the principal is more like a minor antagonist than evil, but they don't seem to have very many, like, nice adults that are prominently featured.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that's part of the world here, too. Like, like the principal seems just, like, over his job, just done with it. And I think that's not necessarily his antagonist, he's done with it. He's done with being a principal. But then we also get a sense, like, that there's more than once when somebody says, if you haven't noticed, times are tough. When there's, I think there's the big line for the construction jobs. And somebody mentions, like, if you got out of your lab every once in a while, you would notice that it's hard to find a job right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, like, there's some feeling about Riverdale that's kind of pervasive here, that, like, that this high school is a little bit of a haven for the rest of the world, and that they're okay, and they're all a little protected. And, like, Jughead's family is a good story about what the world is like, but Jughead still gets to have friends and still gets to live a normal life alongside, you know, Archie, Betty, people of Veronica status. Like, he gets to have that because he's in this sheltered environment that's not the rest of Riverdale.
Yeah, and I mean, it kind of makes sense. I think that a lot of teens are really insulated, right? I mean, that's just part, like, you're almost an adult, but you're still a kid, and the world kind of is built up in such a way that you have your friends group and you go to school, but, you know, if you're lucky, then all the bad realities of the universe don't really affect you.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I have in here, too. Like, this does a really good job of capturing a lot of the high school experience, but in a neutral, safe way, right? Like, Archie's popular but not entitled, and there are unpopular kids like Jughead, but he has a friend still, and, like, everybody's awkward but still kind of cool, and everything's relatable and feels safe. Like, the overall vibe of this is, it's still so Archie. It's still so... Like, to me, that's what Archie is these stories that show conflict, that show the everyday life of a teenager in a way that is real, but isn't, like, gritty real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's conflict with relationships and people treating you poorly, and they're analogies for larger conflicts or larger things that can happen in your life, but it's portrayed in a way that you can relate to almost no matter who you are. And I cannot get over how good of a job Mark Waid did of taking classic Archie and, like, modernizing it so much, keeping that essence there, like, almost completely intact. Everything we talk about just comes back to that in my head. It's terrible. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. Did you end up reading the, like, prologue and epilogue that Staples and then Waid wrote?
No.
I didn't read all of them.
I think the opening of Mark Waid's little closer is really good. And, or I guess it's not the opening, but he says, like, you know, anyone could write something like page one, panel one, establishing shot, Jughead's meth lab, and get a laugh. And it's like, yeah, no, that's actually really true, Mark Waid. You know, if they're doing a reboot, he really could have put it into the modern era by, like, showing how conflicted and awful it is to be a teen. But he stuck with that very definite Archie sensibility. The idea that Archie is kind of like this everyman from a small town, and he's the American dream in a lot of ways. Like, he's not the hero of everything, but he's well-liked, and he has some lady friends, and he has a good life. And I think that, you know, you could make a comic easily about teens who have had a really shit time in their lives, but that wouldn't be an Archie comic.
Yeah. But that person is in here. And he's my favorite character. And it's fucking Jughead.
Jughead was amazing in this. I back you up on that.
Is this his real origin story?
I don't know.
Because if so, A, that's tragic, and B, it kind of makes me think Archie is a bit of a dick for calling him Jughead. Like, Jughead is a really derogatory nickname for him. And if you're really his best friend, like, A, either that sucks for Jughead that his best friend is calling him, like, a shit nickname, or he's gotten to the point where he just accepts it. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, fine, yeah, whatever, that's my nickname, who gives a shit? I don't know, but, like, that puts so much texture to his character that I never knew before, because that, all of a sudden, all of that burger food stuff... Like, yeah, okay, sure, he has an appetite thing, but it's also, I think, a shield for his emotions.
He's an emotional eater.
Yeah, I really think so.
You know, I would like to think that he has claimed the nickname as his own, because they talk about it a little. And the way it's introduced is Jughead is saying, money solves nothing, it's not going to fix your problems. And Archie says, oh, that's a very Jughead response, because he used to have money, and now he doesn't. And it seems like it's more that he's in a position where, rather than feeling that money can't solve anything because he doesn't have it, that he's realized that there are things more valuable. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he does have really close friendships. You can say, like, oh, his life's sad because he was rich, and now he's not. But he still seems to have a home. He has close friends. He has a lot of burgers. So, I really liked that Jughead was the reasonable, sensible person in this story.
Yeah.
And he also maintains his, like, comic sidekick type of thing, but his comedy or his humor is different than in other versions of Archie. Here he's very sarcastic and cynical, but he makes, well, maybe not cynical is the right word, but he's very sarcastic and his, and he still comes off as funny, but just funny in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jughead to me was like the constant, like, good looking out, bro. Like from the start, right? When they have the scheme to get Betty and Archie to be the homecoming king and queen. And he's like, I don't know what happened, man. Trevor won. And then it shows him burning all the Archies. Like, yeah, that's not the fucking right way to do this. And he's, like, looking out for both of his friends. Like, he is legitimately friends with both of them. And he recognizes that it's not the right thing for them because he is the one who's closest to them. And I from that point on, I was like, I'm a Jughead fan. And then at the end of the first issue, there's a page advertising the Jughead comic by Chip Zdarsky. So I'm gonna go buy that.
Oh, that was included in the Kindle edition, the first issue. It was fun.
For $20.
Yeah, apparently they did a Game of Thrones parody, and it was done well.
All right, I'm gonna go pick that up.
Yeah. So the thing I like about Jughead here is the first time we see him, it's Sheila, Maria, and Kevin trying to ply him with desserts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making this face, like his face is all screwed up, like he's trying so hard to resist, and he's like, screw off, I'm not talking, you know, it's my friend's business, not yours.
Yeah.
And from there, the first time we see Jughead, that immediately tells us in this comic that he is a guy who will put friends above food, and that I like, because you kind of get the sense in other Archie comics that he might minorly sell out his buddies for cake, right? And here, it's like, I think that tells you everything you need to know about Jughead. He really likes food, and he can be bribed with it, but only to a certain extent.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like how the food comes back around. I mean, I brought up jokingly earlier, but it comes back around, too, when he wants to go hang out with Archie more, and he says, but, you know, go to Pops, but you are buying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think food is legitimately important to him. And I don't know how poor he got, but maybe it's important to him because for a while there, he couldn't get some.
Well, the thing, you mentioned earlier about how he, is this his real origin story? I do recall that he always talks people into buying food for him, but, you know, I haven't read enough of the original Archie to know if that's actually Jughead's backstory.
It could just be that he's a mooch. I mean, I was a mooch when I was in high school, too, so it's not like...
Yeah, I still am, so yeah. I deeply sympathize with him here.
Yeah. My grandparents were hit hard by the Depression, and my parents are like, never turn down a dollar if somebody's offering it to you. Don't even ask. So when he wants to buy you a burger, say, sure, fuck it, give me a burger. So if Jughead can build that reputation, cool, take all the burgers you want, bro. Yeah, but I really liked him. Just, I mean, it's easy to like the friend, but he constantly, like you pointed out, and he constantly puts his friends ahead of himself, because he sees the value in it so much more than all these other people do. And I'm really interested in his relationship with Veronica too. Like, part of me thinks he wants to get back at Veronica because he sees what he used to be in Veronica, and he wants to, like, teach her a lesson.
Ooh, something. I hadn't thought of that.
Like, his
interesting.
Like, he wants to do right by Archie, too, but he seems to almost, like, want to bring Veronica down in the process.
That's true, because he's so aloof previously, and, you know, Betty's like, it's not our business, leave it alone. And he's like, all up in there.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting.
Boom! I did something smart. It's an hour after my bedtime, too. Fuck yeah.
Aw.
No, it's not that late.
So, I want to talk about Betty and her whole femininity thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was really interesting to me. So, as you may know, I am, like, way more of a tomboy than like, a girly girl. So this struck a chord with me in that, like, there's just some scenes where she's getting a manicure and kind of, like, making this face. And I'm like, I've been there. Or she's trying to stick on fake eyelashes and it's just not working. And, like, I get that, but I feel like her flipping out at Archie was so disproportionate. And I get that they're teenagers, but she, like, and I understand, like, the pillar of their argument, but the fact that she refuses to talk to him for, like, how many weeks after it happens seems really crazy.
Yeah. I think that's just a teenage thing. Maybe not the, like you said, maybe not the reaction, but the not talking to each other. Like, I think that is a not being reasonable people yet.
Yeah.
Not knowing how to handle the situation. I mean, I've had girlfriends as in my 20s who I had no contact with after a breakup, and you know, I don't know what the deal with that is, but some people, like, I, you know, even the girlfriends I had a bad breakup with, I harbor no ill will towards them at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Because there's, it's dumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as a teenager, I guess you just don't, you know, you don't know how to deal with that. And, you feel especially hurt because your emotions are higher or are turned up to 11, so to speak. So, you know, your reaction to things are equally inappropriate, not inappropriate, but elevated.
You know, I'm going to come into a little bit of Betty's defense here. And say that it's a matter of scale as well, because I think at the heart of this, Betty is a true, true hardcore feminist in that she is a woman and she can do and be everything she wants to be. And that includes fixing Archie's car for him because he doesn't know how to do it, playing video games, and being really fucking pretty when she wants to. And the whole point of the argument is that he doesn't accept both of those sides of her. He wants to only see her the way that he's always seen her. And she's upset, A, because it limits her ability to be who she wants to be, but also her point of view comes from the fact that they have been, as Archie puts it, dating since kindergarten. Like, Archie, you know who the fuck she is. Like, a little bit of makeup doesn't change it. Like, it's not like they'd been dating for 2 months and all of a sudden she gussies up and this fight happens. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. He has, what, 15 years? No, what is it? 12, 13 years at this point of reference of who Betty is, there's absolutely no reason for this kind of reaction from Archie. None at all. Unless Archie fundamentally cannot see her as a woman in all of the ways that she might want to portray that. Like, if he puts on a suit and tie, it's not fundamentally different for her. So why should this be fundamentally different for him?
What's strange to me, though, is that it seems like she doesn't want to get made up, right? Because Maria and Sheila start saying, oh, we should call you Lizzie. So they're trying to make her name more modern. And, like, I would almost say, like, more, it's not that it's more feminine, but Betty is the kind of name that has gone out of style. So Generally you meet someone called Betty and they tend to be either older or pretty young, right? It's not like a teenager name that's very common.
True.
But, you know, like, she looks so uncomfortable with the eyebrow threading and the manicure, the dress, the makeup, and it's almost like she's clearly, you know, like she won't even come out of her house. She says, come, you know, Archie, come pick me up. She's trying to make an impression, but she's not comfortable with it either.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants a reaction out of him. But then you sit, at least I sat there and thought, like, I feel like this is a catch-22 for Archie, because let's say he doesn't react because he's weirded out because this person he's known since he was 5 is suddenly made up in a way that, you know, I'm guessing there's context in the background for, like, she doesn't want to put on lipstick and nail polish and, you know, do her hair. And then the other side is, okay, what if he isn't to it? What if he's like, you look amazing, you look really good? That validates the amount of work she put into it, but at the same time, it's always possible for him to get the response of, oh, so you like girls like this and not me. I feel like in dating, when you're trying to portray someone who, like, you're not, that kind of situation can end up really easily as a lose-lose. And it just strikes me as weird, like, the way that it panned out.
Yeah, I think...
I don't know.
No, I think we're reading the situation differently, from different perspectives, I think. Because my read is that when Betty makes him go over there, it's because she is uncomfortable and she is unsure. And she is just looking for reassurance from him that mm-hmm. that all of this work was worth it, and that he appreciates what she did, but still likes her for who she was, right? Like she does want both worlds, but mostly she wants reassurance that it's okay, and he doesn't give it. And he does the exact opposite. He says, this is fucking weird. This is fucking weird. I don't even know who you are right now. And of course her reaction's like, what the fuck you mean don't know who I am? We've known each other 12 fucking years. What the fuck you mean? So she just wants reassurance. And it's really like, it's one of those things. It feels like a catch 22, but it's easy. He could just go, my God, you look amazing. Let's go watch a fucking great horror movie and then come back and play some fucking video games. You know? Or, I mean, she can be both, and he's fundamentally not accepting of that when all she wants is reassurance that, or even like, you look great, would you rather wear a hoodie? You know, like,
yeah, and that's a pretty fair answer.
Yeah, like, you look great, but you also look uncomfortable. Do you want to be more comfortable when we go out? Because it's like it's a midnight showing too, I'm sure it's not warm, and she's wearing like a short skirt. You know, like, there's multiple outs for him built into that. So I don't know, I'm on Betty's side in the fight. I guess
I just pity Archie because I feel like it's a terrible position to be trapped in the crosshairs of a teenage girl's insecurity.
Right, and we have an established perspective by the time we get revealed what happened that Archie is clumsy, not just physically.
Mm-hmm.
So there are navigable ways out of that catch 22, many of them for a lot of people, but Archie is not going to be the person who finds his way out of this. It's not going to be him.
he's and it's true. I mean, he by the end is like a total doofus.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt sorry for both of them just because they, you know, it's obvious they both reacted poorly to the situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are so proud that they can't even reconcile as friends based on their long friendship. You know, so I just felt the situation when they finally revealed what the lipstick incident was, to me it just, I felt really sad for the two of them because I feel like both of them are losing something very important to mm-hmm. their life, you know? And fortunately we kind of see them coming back together. By the end of, I guess it's the end of issue 6. You know, when was it 6 or 5 where Archie tells him he needs space? it seems like they're trying too hard, and I think Jughead pulls Betty into it initially, and then Betty, you know, she says Veronica made it her business, and then it's just an unfortunate situation that was starting to turn around is becoming unfortunate again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think
I mean, don't get me wrong, I do sympathize with Betty, because I feel like she's been put in a position where she's being told, like, men like this, and she's trying to do it, and then it doesn't elicit, you know, a good response. And, you know, like, it is bad for both of them. I also feel bad when Archie tells her to go home at the party, though. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I get that he's upset, like, they're trying to meddle. But I don't know. Like, they're his best friends. They're gonna meddle. That's how it works.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of, like, David, you were saying that they're too proud, and I think this is like one of their first really big fight, and we get more of a sense that they don't know what to say to each other. There's that couple panels in the beginning where we're getting the fourth wall from Archie, and Betty's in the background, and she walks over, puts a hand up, is unsure, and then walks back to her locker in the background. And Archie doesn't notice, but we get to see that. Mm-hmm. So I think his reaction later on is like, you don't talk to me for, like, weeks, Betty, and then you pull this shit. Like, what the fuck? Like, from Jughead, maybe, sure. But I think he's mostly disappointed that Betty's in this, too, after not fucking talking to him. Like, that is a little shitty. Like, where is this coming from with them? And he probably wants to know, but at a certain point, like, he's happy with Veronica, and nobody's willing to fucking, like, they're not talking to him about it. They're just wanting to do something. And it's kind of like, just fucking, you had your chance, Betty. Come say hi. I mean, I know he did too. But I mean, that's the whole gist of this comic, right? It's the teen.
Yeah, I mean, neither of them.
The conflict.
Neither of them want to be the bigger person.
Yeah.
They feel, maybe they feel a sense of entitlement that they are the wronged party and the other person should apologize first.
Or that's, even.
That's how I read the situation.
I feel like they're both like, I don't know what to say because it's gotten so awkward.
Yeah, right? That's true, yeah.
And at their age, I don't think they understand necessarily everything that they were fighting about. Like, I don't think mm-hmm. Archie understands that Veronica feels slighted in the way that she does. And I don't think Betty understands that Archie feels like he didn't have a way out of the situation. I don't think that they recognize that in each other. They just got in a fight and now they don't know what to do. And they can't see the other point of view. They can't understand it the way that they might do if they were older. So on the same take when we're like, but that's the point of this. Like, this was all really, really good. But at the end of issue 6, I was like, okay, this is exactly the teen drama I thought it was going to be, and I'm cool. Like, I really enjoyed this, but I was okay by the end. I was like, I don't need volume 2.
Oh, really? Because I was immediately like, oh, I should buy volume 2 if it's not $20.
Yeah. I want to know that there's an ending, because I can just see this going on and on and on and on and on, which it does in real Archie. But I want to know if Mark Waid has an end game for this scenario.
Well, that's the thing. I want it to go on because, so I never read Archie, but like outside of doing it for this podcast. So that's been like, I don't know, 5 volumes at this point. If even that. Mm-hmm. And right now, it just seems like a really nice thing to have exist in that it's so, like, kind of tepidly sweet. You know, they're never going to come to real harm. They're always going to play out their, like, petty dramas with some minor jokes. And it's very, Like, the very fact that it's just this sitcom that keeps going and going without any endgame seems appealing to me right now. And I think it's because, I don't know, the world's a dark place. Archie is not a dark place.
It's true. Okay, I see the value of that, yeah.
But it's kind of weird, because I think before 2016, I never would have thought that. I would have been like, these are going to give me the diabetes. and now I'm like, I need to read more Archie.
Give me some escapism, please.
Yeah.
I want to feel safe at Riverdale High.
Well, they're all nice people at heart.
Yeah.
Except maybe Reggie, and then in a lot of versions, he too is a nice person at heart. And it's like, oh, look at these nice kids doing nice kid things.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Reggie does help.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dick and he does it in a terrible way, but he does help. Like, he says, like, my fake ID thing is dried up, but I don't buy that. I think that's a cover.
Yeah, I feel like if Archie can get a fake ID, then anyone can.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Who the fuck gives Archie a fake ID?
Although that was an amazing fake ID.
Yeah. What'd you guys want to talk about? Anything else before we rate this? The art, maybe?
The art. Yeah. The art's so good. I know you're probably going to ask favorite scenes, so oh, yeah. I want to volunteer. The ones, okay, there's like a bunch. I think my all-out favorite is where it talks about Archie's job history. I think that's an issue, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's talking to the audience, and then he's like telling us about why he wants the money, and it shows him going through and failing at each of these jobs. But the last panel is him at an ice cream shop, and the ice cream is on fire.
Yeah. And the manager.
And the expression on the manager's face is so absurd. But I love that, because it's like, okay, you know, he's talking to us. And then it just, these three shots that so perfectly explain why he should be unemployable. But then, I love all the covers. I really love the Jughead cover for issue 3.
Yeah.
And then the scene at, like, is it Homecoming or whatever? Where he's playing guitar, and it's just, it's a number of panels all lined up, you know, from top to bottom, and it's people reacting to him playing guitar, and there's no dialogue. I feel like that is such a Fiona Staples thing to do. We see it in Saga as well. Like, that kind of, like, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out type of thing. And I feel like that is just really, like, something that she does marvelously to show you a little story without having to explain any of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my favorite was actually a Veronica Fish one, where it's, and it's the one that sticks in my face when, or sticks in my head when Veronica leans into the car that Reggie is in and says, oh yeah, body spray, right. Just the face work, by both of these, I mean, Fiona Staples' face work is awesome, but Veronica's Fish's is really good too, because that, just the utter look of disdain is perfect. And it's, both of them do Veronica's oh god face pretty good. But that scene sticks with me. Yeah, and oh god. Yeah. Fiona Staples is just an amazing artist. And Betty is so hot.
Issue number 4 is actually done by another artist, Annie Wu.
Oh.
Oh
yeah, there's,
I mean, whoever made created the style guide for this did an excellent job, because, you know, you can, if you look at it, you can see the differences in art style, but they all, you can easily tell who is who. Yeah. And there's really good consistency, and all three artists do an excellent job on this.
Yeah. What about you, David? What was your favorite scene?
Oh man, favorite scene
or most memorable one, like, if I if you think about this a week from now, what do you think is going to be the thing that pops into your head?
I don't know. I really liked the beginning of issue number 4 where it has, like, Betty and Archie hanging out on 4th of July. That whole series of events is just, you know, it shows a great friendship. You know, like Jen, I think I kind of feel that this is just a nice story. It doesn't try to be anything other than itself, and it's like the best version of itself that it could be, and it's just really, it's the characters are endearing, and the story is good, and I think that scene kind of captures that really well. And it also adds to the tragedy of the whole lipstick incident. You know, even on top of the you know, we see them, like you mentioned, Andy, where Archie's breaking the fourth wall and we see Betty in the background. It makes those kinds of things even more tragic to me. And you know, I don't know if I'm not necessarily rooting for Betty and Archie to get back together, but I want them to both be happy again, because you can tell that both of them are being like eaten up inside because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because they lost their boyfriend or girlfriend, but because they lost a friend. And so I hope it gets resolved in a way that everybody can be happy about.
Well, you guys want to rate this?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. Jen, how about you go first?
I really liked this. I thought it was fun, and it made me laugh a lot. Maybe not as much as Archie versus Predator, but I thought it was still like a really sweet story. 4.5. It was just, it was very delightful. And I don't know if I'm going to remember it, like, you know, forever from now when we talk about comics we've read. But I did really enjoy reading it right now. So I can't give it a 5 just based on that, but I really liked the art. I thought that it was a good reimagining of the characters that gave them more depth and flavor. It was a good way to introduce, like, real life conflict, or like real human being conflict instead of like cartoony conflict, into the series without making it like, you know, too conflicting, too dark, too grim. This was just the right amount, and I think it honored what Archie is. So, yeah, 4.5.
All right. David?
Well, I'm going to give this 4.5 as well. I'm certainly biased because I subscribe to all the Archie comics. I get all Archie, all of Jughead, and Betty and Veronica.
Yeah.
Originally, I started subscribing just because I've told the story before about reading Archie at my in-law's house. But I started picking it up because I was curious, and I really liked it, and then my wife really likes it too, and I just... You know, I really enjoy all these titles. I'm definitely giving it a 4.5. I kind of want to give it a 5 a little bit. I mean, it's not perfect, but I'm always happy to see it when I go pick up my comics. Any of the titles. Actually, I don't get Josie and the Pussycats. I don't get that one. But I haven't read it yet, so maybe it's good. But... Yeah, I really, really like these comics. Partly because it's a break from the other stuff I read. I like the Cape comics still, but this is just something different that's really well made, and so I don't really have any real complaints about it. So yeah, 4.5. Or 5. I'm just going to go with 5.
Okay. I was about to say, I'm going to go with you that this feels like a 5 because I can't think of anything that's really wrong with it. Maybe I'd be happier if Fiona Staples had done all 6 issues, but all 3 of these artists do a really good job here, so I don't feel like that's even a thing. I just really like Fiona Staples, and I think she's great, but the other 2 artists who make an appearance here are also really good. And I think it's growing on me a bit more, Jen. I said before that I was kind of done with it after 6 issues because I could kind of see it's a merry-go-round and I don't really want to be on it right now. But David, you were saying it's like a nice break, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been catching up on East of West, and everything matters for the nation and all of these little like warring countries, and then there's the 4 Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Like, it's all so heavy and important and weird and gritty and whatever, and this is such a break from that kind of thing. So I don't know that I'm going to rush out and get volume 2 right now, but if I am in a glut of like overly serious comics, I'm going to turn to volume 2 and read that and see it as a nice refreshing change of pace. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.5. I want to give it a 5. I want to. But then I think about other things that we gave a 5, and I'm just like, this isn't quite up there with, like, Kraven's Last Hunt for me. You know, like, there are comics I remember giving a 5 that are just on a whole other level, and this isn't quite there, but I can't see anything wrong with this. So there's just some intangible thing missing that makes me not give it a 5, but other than that, I mean, it is more or less perfect. That's it for this week. We're going to round out our best of, or not, we're going to round out Archie 2, Archie Boogaloo, our second Archie series, by reading Betty and Veronica by Adam Hughes. This is a 3-issue run. It might get collected someday, but the 3rd issue just came out like 2 weeks ago as of this recording. So we're going to end up having to find and pick up singles. But this one I'm interested in because a lot of the reviews of this are like, this is the wrong tone for Archie because there's too much cheesecake going on here now. Except most of the interior work I've seen on it isn't really that cheesecakey. And I'm interested in the discussion of artists and the reputations that follow them, even when they're not necessarily merited. So I want to read this, the whole thing, but I'm looking forward to that discussion. Because I am a big Adam Hughes fan, both in terms of the cheesecake stuff and the fact that he's just a phenomenal artist, whether it's cheesecake or not. So anyway, yeah, that's it for this week. Next week, Betty and Veronica. If you like the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics and support us. Give a penny and get a bonus episode once a month. The Superman bonus content is going to be up 2 weeks ago, as of you hearing this, or 1 week ago. I don't know. Anyway, it was good. It was good. So a penny gets you access to the bonus content once a month. All you gotta do, patreon.com/welcometocomics. If you want to hear any of our past shows or see what we're reading coming up, we're planning out our best of 2016 series right now, so by the time this comes up, we will have that figured out. So if you want to see what we're doing for like the next 2 months, because our best of series is always massive, go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, it'll say future shows, and it's all right there. Anyway, that's it for this week, everybody. Until next week, goodbye!
Goodbye!
Bye.
Yeah.